Morning. So I tell you, I'm kind of digging being in the back. Can you bring me down just a little bit more, Brian? We're back there and. It's just free, man. We're just back there worshiping and everything else like that. And I look up, and I see Ian with his phone, and he's taking a picture of Jade. And I look over at Jade, and Jade's sitting there, and she's got her head leaned back and her eyes shut, and she's just doing this during Reckless Love. And I'm like, yes, yes. And, you know, worship is a hard thing for many of us. Again, I'm not going to preach that message. But I think when we approach it in a way that puts us in the center of God's will and purpose for our life, it empowers us. And when we see kids back there raising their hands and lifting their hands, I mean, I hope to see all of us do it. I saw Lane back there and Bethany and different ones, you know, worshiping, raising their hands and whatnot. But man, when we're sowing that seed into our kids and our kids understand who Jesus is, and begin lifting their hands and honoring Him and bringing Him to the forefront of their life. It's a very special place to be. Amen. And so I just want to recognize that this morning. I told him to send me the picture he took. I might throw it out on our Facebook page for everyone to see, because to me those moments are just amazing. And I, you know, it's one of those things that I think we need to celebrate. You know, people can judge it and say what they will about it, but I think it's just something that we need to celebrate as Christian people. I do want to share one thing I forgot to mention. Our next men, our 17 to 24-year-old men, are going to meet at the house, up at our house today. Sam's got them a nice spaghetti dinner ready. You guys feeling that? I'm feeling that. I don't know about you. But it's a nice spaghetti dinner ready with some garlic bread and everything else like that. And I appreciate Eddie for stepping up and seeing the hungry. The hunger of these guys and the questions they were asking and their desire to go deeper and more and stepping up and saying, hey, I'll be that guy. I'll be the one that does that, because I kind of saw it and knew it, but man, there was just not much more room on my plate for anything. And so I was actually praying about it. And three days later, after I started praying for it, Eddie sends me the text, and I'm like, yes. So good stuff. And you be in prayer for them. As they get together, they're just going to hang out, eat some spaghetti, and talk about Jesus and see where it goes. And, you know, as a way to start mentoring them into becoming the next men of faith that we have in life. So we're appreciative of that and excited about it. So be prayerful for that, and I'll throw that out to you as well. Good stuff about Kids Club, right? Yeah? Man, good to see our kids growing and nurturing in the Lord and taking a step up. We're excited about that. So we're gonna continue with our Walk Away series this morning, and so we're gonna step back into the book of Exodus in the fourth chapter this morning, starting at the 14th verse. And as we do that, you know, I want us to remember when we talk about walking away. You know, we preach the Easter message about how Jesus walked out, and the worship team sang the song that if He walked out, we're gonna walk out too. But part of walking out, there is a consistent drive to us that when we're going to walk out of something, right, then that means we need to walk away from everything associated with it. And that's the idea of this message. You know, and you know, I was kind of worried about putting the title Walk Away on it, even though that's what God gave me, so I did it. But, you know, I didn't want people to misinterpret that, because you know how people are. They always... They put their own interpretation to things, and they point their fingers, and they say, you're doing this, you're doing that. No, 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 no. That's not where we're going. But, you know, for Jesus to walk out of the tomb, He had to take off the grave clothes, right? And He had to fold those up, which there's significance to that, but I'm not going to preach that this morning. He had to fold those up, and He had to lay them down, and He had to walk away from them. And part of our problem when it comes to us pursuing Jesus, when it comes to us pursuing what God wants in our life is we walk to Jesus, right? We come to Jesus. We go to the cross. We go to the empty tomb. We go to the places that we need to go to experience Jesus Christ. But our struggle and our pain and our hurt and our hardship comes because we refuse to walk away from the things that put us in the tomb in the first place, right? The lifestyle choices, the decision making, right? The priorities, the things that we have jacked up in our life to the point that we can't follow Jesus, right? What did Jesus say to his disciples when he called them, right? He said, follow me. He said, follow me. Amen. And if you take that into perspective, I mean, we're not playing a game here, like Simon says. But ideally, what he's doing is he's going to them and he's saying, "Look, I get it that you don't know everything. I get it that you don't have every jot and every tittle figured out. But here's the reality: I do. I've got it all figured out. I am in constant intercession with the Father. I'm in constant peace with the Father. I'm in constant possession of the power of God in my life every single day. So what I want you to do is I want you to follow me. And by following me, I want you to see how God channels in me and through me and does works in people's lives that you can't do." Right? He didn't go up to them and he said, "Okay, let me look at your resume. Let me see this. Let me see this. Okay, you're good for this and this only. Don't get out of that box. And you're good for this and this only. Don't get out of that box." He didn't partition people at all. What he did was he went to them and he said, "I can supply it all. I can provide it all. I can make it all happen. So follow me. Follow me. Don't follow a theology. Don't follow a course curriculum. Don't follow, you know, this mindset or that mindset." We have a whole lot of different denominations across the world because a whole lot of people just couldn't follow Jesus. Right? I mean, it's the way it is, right? And I think everyone, and I'm not saying those people were bad. I'm not saying those people were wrong. I mean, when John came to me and said, "Hey, you're going to do this." I mean, we had just walked away from a church that we had been at for 8 years because we felt God doing something, but we didn't know what. And so we were just kind of out there visiting, wondering, looking, praying, seeking what God had. And then John started calling and said, "You're going to do this." I'm like, whoa, let me hear from heaven too, bro, right? And then God, we came together, we prayed about it and everything else, and we had the agreement, if God opens the door, we're going to walk through it. If he opens the next door, we're going to walk through it. If he goes to the next door, we're going to... What happened? We wanted to follow Jesus. I didn't want to follow Jay. I didn't want to follow John. I didn't want to follow man. I didn't want to follow this idea, right? I wanted to follow Jesus. And I've made it known to John, I've made it known to you all from out, that as long as the main thing is the main thing, as long as we are focused on him, as long as we are moving in a direction that pleases and satisfies him, I'm all in. And when I'm all in, you guys should know by now, when I'm all in, I'm all in, right? I don't halfway do anything, right? Because I believe Jesus deserves a whole lot more than that, right? Because if we notice, when we're halfway in, right, we still got the grave clothes wrapped around our feet. We still got the priority mix-ups wrapped around our calves. We've still got the little secret sin wrapped around our thighs. And before you know it, we're not really walking away from anything. We're walking far enough out of the tomb that we can put on a good face, but we're still stuck in the tomb. So this idea of walk away doesn't have anything to do with anybody. It doesn't have anything to do with a political denomination. It doesn't have anything to do with any other church out there. It has everything to do with the fact that we need to start taking off grave clothes. We need to start laying them down in the tomb. And we need to start walking away from the things that have driven us away from God's plan for our life. Amen? And what better place to look than Moses? What better place to look at Moses? We looked at Moses. We saw his turmoil. We saw that he was raised largely by a Jew and then given over to the Egyptians and then raised according to Egyptian statutes and customs. And then he comes to a place of struggle in his life. And that ultimately leads him to kill someone because of the struggle. And he runs away from all of it. And then we find that Moses in his solitude and Moses in his far off place has this experience with God, where God begins to show him that, yes, I can place something in you that will burn, but not consume you. And see, for us to come to a place where God is burning in our life and Jesus Christ is at work in our life and he is doing something in our life that is going to take us to the next level, we never get there if we don't walk away. You see, if Moses had stayed in Egypt and struggled around with the Jews and struggled around with the Egyptians and never really finding out who he was, he would have constantly been torn by two opinions. Right? Jesus asked the questions in the gospel, how long will you be divided by two opinions? How long will you be torn by two opinions? You can't do it. You will never successfully live a Christian life choosing to be like the world today, but not like the world tomorrow. Choosing to want this part of the world and this part of Jesus, but none of all. Man, you're setting yourself up for struggle. You're setting yourself up for difficulty. You're setting yourself up for pain. The power of God will never manifest itself in your life when you're constantly halted between two opinions, when you're constantly divided. So Moses walked away. And as he walked away, he found himself. He found himself not in glory, not in riches, not in money, but by herding sheep, by cleaning up poop, By building sleep dens. He found himself through hard work. He found himself by walking away from all of the things that twisted him up as far as who he was. And he went and he found himself. And when he found himself and he looked unto God, when God appeared as the burning bush, he looked to God and God beginning to start answering all of his questions. Amen? And that brings us to where we are today. In the story of Moses. It brings us to a place, and I know I'm not hitting all of the normal stuff that you should hit when you study Moses, right? Because a lot of times I hope you already know the normal stuff, right? And if you don't, have questions, and then ask me. And if you don't want to ask me, then open up the Word and read this story in Exodus. It's really easy reading. Open it up, chapter 1, and read through to about verse 9, maybe even chapter 9, or maybe even as far as verse 14. And you get a really good glimpse of where Moses is and what Moses is doing. So Moses, now, at the burning bush, God's calling him. God is saying, you have found yourself, you have walked away from the turmoil in your life, and now you're in a place where I can use you. Much like the moment with the disciples. God is in this place where he says, I'm going to use you, and I'm going to do this with you. Right? And that's where we pick up this morning. Fourth chapter, starting at verse 14. We're going to be a little all over the place, but we'll use this as our text this morning. It says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take his rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Right? Okay, a little weird reading with the these and the thous there this morning, but I was getting a little tongue-tied with it. But basically what's happening here is Moses has had God present himself to him. God has shown himself to Moses in the burning bush and has begun to speak power and dominion into Moses' life. Moses has now come from a place to where he didn't know who he was and he was wrestling with that, to a place where he has found himself and found happiness with a family and with a situation in life, able to walk away from all of that. And now God has come back to him and said, now is the time. You know? Now is the time. You know, it's kind of like that Rafiki moment in Lion King. Right? Any Lion King fans out there? I love Lion King, man. It's like still number one. I don't care what Pixar does. It's like still up here for me, right? There's that Rafiki moment where Simba's out there, you know, and everything else. And Rafiki's like, remember who you are. And then he hits him on top of the head with the staff and everything. And he's like, ow, what'd you do that for? He says, it doesn't matter. It's in the past, right? Come on. No one loved that moment but me. I love that moment. So what we have to remember is when God steps into our life, He is saying to me and He is saying to you and He's saying to whosoever will, I don't care what you walked away from. I don't care what we left in the tomb. When you laid those grave clothes down, I accepted that it was done and I cleansed it and I gave you the power and the ability to walk away from it. So now what I'm asking you to do is I'm asking you to embrace who I am and do the things that I do for the cause of the people that we need to bless and touch and deliver. Amen? And that call to Moses is no different than the call to me and you. It is no different whatsoever. There needs to be a fire of Jesus Christ burning in our life to the point and the place that if we don't succeed in giving Him our all, I don't mean succeed in ourselves and in our abilities, but succeed in giving everything we have to it. Ian showed me a picture. I told you it was going to work in, pal. Ian showed me a picture back there that a friend showed him and everything. And it's got this huge tree. Right? It's got this huge tree with a million branches coming off of it. Okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit. Maybe it's 1,000 branches coming off of it, right? Huge tree. I want you to imagine the biggest tree you can think of with all the branches that you can think of twisting and turning and coming off and everything else like that. And Ian's friend sent it to him and he says, what? How many of us are willing to sacrifice our life, be the acorn that dies in the dirt to produce the root and produce the tree that springs up and allows all of those branches and all of those things to take part in a church, in a life, in a being, and create that kind of legacy. Amen? How many of us are willing to die to see God do what God wants to do? Now, I don't mean die a physical death. But I mean die a spiritual death. I mean go into the tomb, take off our grave clothes, lay them down, and walk out and walk away from whatever had us there in the first place. How many of us are willing to do that? How many of us are willing to chop down the trees and lay the foundation and the timber for the generations to come? Amen? I've said it before, and I'm not just giving lip service to it. I mean it. I am doing what I'm doing today, not for me and not for my boys. Our time has well been past. Amen. What's happening here today is happening for the Jades and for the little Bradberries and the little Slawberries. It's not happening for Mark and for Wally. It's happening for their kids. It's happening for Annie's kids and TJ Medora's kids and all of the kids that are here this morning. It's happening. It's important that we have this next men so that this group of 17 to 24-year-old men grab on to how important it is to become the next generation of men that will carry the gospel. Amen. It is important as a church that we chop down these trees and we give a path and a road for these kids to walk on so that when they get to the point and the place of where they're conflicted and confounded about the world or Jesus Christ is the clear answer. Amen? That is our heart and that is our goal and that is our passion. Amen? And if it's not, friend, we need to find out how to get there and how to work our way to it. Amen. And quit getting gobbled up in all the stupid stuff. Amen. And the reality for us is this. God has all we need. This morning's message is all about that. God has all we need. You see, Moses never refused. Moses never refused. If you really read the scriptures, and I know Moses got a bad rap and everything else like this, and even in what I read to you this morning, it says that God got angry at Moses. Amen, and he did, because Moses was asking a lot of questions and everything else. And I don't think it was ever from a point of, I don't want to do this. Trust me, I've been there. I've been in a, I don't want to do this place, right? And it led me to some few years of some pretty bad darkness and whatever. I don't think Moses was there. I think Moses was willing and from the beginning said, here am I, Lord. Amen. But I think now he's wanting to put the details in line. And I kind of screw up there a lot too. I'm that way. Those who know me well and everything else know I'm like super detailed and super prep and this and that and the other. And when everything doesn't just line up, I'm kind of like, you know, and it just kind of takes the inside of me and twists it up a little bit. But you know what I found? no matter how twisted up I get inside, God always figures it out. And as long as I step up and rely on Him and not self or others, He always comes through. Right? And see, just like Moses, we a lot of times sit there and wonder, well, how's this going to work? Well, who's going to do this? Well, I can't talk very good. Well, how's this going to happen, Lord? Well, what do I say when this happens? Well, you know, I'm not exactly qualified for this, right? We start examining ourselves. Why? Because we've been molded that way. We've been molded that way. Amen. One of the first things I told Luke, and one of the first things that TJ and Medora and I talked about when we first met at their house is expression, right? I think expression is important. Why? Because we're not all cut from the same cloth. We're all very different. If we went around and surveyed the room, we all probably come from very different backgrounds as far as church and religion and things go, right? But the fact is we're not focusing ourselves on denominations. We're not focusing ourselves on who believes what. We're just focusing ourselves on Jesus Christ and the fact that He's going to do everything that matters, right? And He will also thwart anything that doesn't matter. Amen? And when we try to force the things that don't matter, guess who ends up looking like the fool? We do, right? Why? Because we step outside of what God's doing. We step away from where His power is. We step away from where His dominion is. And when we do that, now we're struggling on our own. Moses was wanting to figure all of this out beforehand. He was wanting the script, right? And God just doesn't give very many scripts, right? I mean, I've read the Bible through several times, and I've read a lot of different things. I've done a lot of different studies and everything else. And the one thing that's true about just about every life in Scripture is they all had to step out on faith. They all had to step out on faith because God doesn't give the whole script, right? He gives you what you need in a moment. He gives you what you need for a situation. He gives you what you need for a circumstance or a period of time. Amen? Already having everything else figured out, but just giving us the power and dominion that we need in a moment. And we need to learn to be satisfied with that. That's tough, right? Especially for a type A like me, that's tough, right? It's tough to be satisfied with this moment because you want the next moment and the next moment and the next moment. You want it all lined out and figured out. And that's where Moses was in this moment. He was asking Jesus all of these questions, not because he denied authority, not because he doubted, not because he wasn't willing to go. He just didn't want to mess up. He just didn't want to mess up, right? And a lot of us sit in the pews and cross our arms and stay in the same place for a lifetime because we don't want to mess up. Because we want to have it all figured out and know that when we did it and we gave our all, we gave it our best and our best was good enough. And here's the reality, friend. Sometimes our best isn't good enough. Sometimes I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes the messages I've studied the longest and the deepest are the ones I get up here and blow it on. But and it doesn't mean that I don't study every message deep and long, but sometimes the ones I put extra into are the ones I seem to struggle with more because I think Jesus is saying, dude, you're relying way too much on yourself. You're relying way too much on yourself. I gave you in this outline what I want. You just get up and be committed to that. I'll take care of everything else. Amen. And when those moments when I get up here and I do that, He brings things I read 15 years ago back. And I'm thinking, where did that come from? Right? Why? Because God has the dominion and the power. And He can bring and give the sustenance in our moment and in our time of need. We got to trust Him. And we got to rely on Him. And this is where Moses and God were. They were in this place where Moses wanted to know, wanted to figure out, wanted the script. He was willing, but he wanted the script. God said, no, not going to give that to you. Just go. Well, who do I say that I am? Who do I say that you are? I am is sufficient. God, don't you just love God's attitude? I love God's attitude. I am is enough. You tell him I am sent you. Okay. I am who? Doesn't matter. I got it. Amen? And the question really isn't about God. The question is about us. How deeply do we trust Him? How deeply do we believe who He is, who He says He is? How deeply do we believe that in a dark night, in a tough situation, and in a hurtful moment, that He's going to supply our every need? How much do we trust that and believe that and walk in that? Amen? And that's the tough part for us. And then we have to factor in people. Right? People are hard. People are hard. People are difficult. Right? People, especially if they're still in their tomb, people are in bad places. And because of their situation and their bad place and everything else like that, they're not making it easy on you at all. They want you to suffer with them. They want you to struggle with them. Amen? Misery finds company, right? Isn't that how the old saying goes? Right? And there are a lot of people in this world that want you to be miserable with them, when in reality, you are the one called to deliver them from their misery. You are the one called to counsel them. You are the one called to love them. You are the one called to show them that there is a Jesus who walked out of a tomb and gives them the ability to walk away from the grave clothes that hold them there and allows the power of God to work in their life in a way that will set them apart and bring happiness and joy and peace to their everyday in every moment, no matter what people do. Amen? Dude, I could create a list of people who've wronged me. Amen? I could create a list. But the reality is, I don't care, because they need Jesus and I'm walking with Him. Oh, you didn't hear me. They need Jesus. I don't care if it's in the middle of the church or in the middle of the street. They need Jesus and I'm walking with Him. So I'm just going to keep walking. Amen. I'm going to allow the power and authority of God to be my lead. I'm going to allow the power and authority of God to be my dance partner. I'm going to allow the power and the authority of God to work in my life in a way, amen, that no matter who does what, I'm still standing on the solid rock, knowing that my Redeemer lives. If I stand alone. If I stand alone. If we study, if you read all those verses, it's a great movie. They've made movies out of it and everything else. But if you really study Moses' life, it's a great tell. And what you find is Moses is often in that place, right? He is often in that place. The Hebrew children, because of his work with Pharaoh, he makes their task harder, right? They're slaves, right? So he makes the work that they have to do as slaves harder because of what Moses is doing. So not only is he getting a lot of indifference and a lot of difficulty from Pharaoh, he's walking away from Pharaoh in all those moments, and he's going back to a bunch of ungrateful people. Blaming, cursing, faulting him. Often alone. Often with other than Aaron and maybe Miriam, no one really to pat him on the back. No one really to encourage him. No one really to lift him up. But you know what speaks to me about Moses? Is even when he stood alone, he stood for God. Even when he couldn't rely or count on anybody else to have his back, he kept standing and he kept going and standing in front of Pharaoh, doing what God called him to do. And you see, that's when it gets tough for us, right? That's when it gets tough for us. Because we like the gratification. We like, you know, it's not that we need our name in lights, not that we need any great big anything, but you know, we need that pat on the back, or we need that subtle encouragement. Trust me, I love it when Chris, you know, Chris and I text a lot through the week. I love it when I get Chris texts. Why? Because they're supportive and they're encouraging, and he always prays for me and lifts me up. So as soon as I hear the ding and I look over and I see Chris Beckett, I'm like, yeah, man, Chris is talking to me now, right? I love that, right? And we should all be better about that. Not just for me. You can be better for me, but no, we should all be better about that for each other, and we should all be better about that for those trying to get out of their tomb, right? See, that's where Moses was different. There was a whole lot of people trying to get out of their tomb in Egypt. There was a whole lot of people trying to get out from under captivity in Egypt. And Moses was the only one in the flesh waging that war. And he continued to wage that war because he believed and he trusted in the power of God to do what God said he would do. Right? When we get ahead of God, when we get over here and make a bumbling mess and everything else, you know why we do that? It's because we don't trust God to be who God said he was. We don't trust God to do what God said he would do. We don't trust God to make it all happen. We don't trust that God has the end of the story figured out, right? And I've seen this on Facebook, and I'm sure you have too, because it's been passed around 1,000 times and everything else. But it says if we'll sit down and open up a puzzle box and trust that the person that created the puzzle had all of the pieces in the puzzle, if we will sit there and spend the days and hours that it takes, I don't do it. I hate puzzles. Sam loves them. I hate them. I might get like 2 or 3 pieces in. I'm like, yep, there's my contribution. And I move on because my brain just won't stay steady for that long to do what you have to do for puzzles and everything else. So I'll walk away from and everything else. But she will literally sit for weeks at a time to work puzzles. And the harder, the better. And everything. And she'll go 2 or 3 days and get one piece in. And when she gets the one piece, oh, I found a piece. You know, that just kills me. But she loves that, right? If we're going to open up a puzzle box and we're going to spend that time and make that investment to do something like that, and we're going to trust the people who made the puzzle. One year for Christmas, I got her these Disney puzzles at Walmart just as a little extra gift and everything else. And I got it for her because she loves Disney and she loves puzzles. I'm thinking, yeah, nailed it. And it was a whole lot better than the bread maker. It worked. And so forth. And she worked the first puzzle, perfect. Worked the second puzzle, got to the end, 2 pieces missing. Worked the third puzzle, got to the end, 1 piece missing. Worked the fourth puzzle, got to the end, 3 pieces missing. She wasn't a happy camper. And it was kind of my fault because I bought it, right? Guys, you know what I'm talking about, right? I have never worked a puzzle in the name of Jesus Christ that he didn't have all the pieces. That he didn't have every answer. That he didn't open every door and close those that needed closed. I've never worked a puzzle for Jesus that he didn't show up in my hour of desperation. I have never once been commissioned by him for something that he didn't supply the need. And so we are all called in our walking away. We are all called to a place that not only do we walk away from the grave clothes, but we remove our trust from the grave clothes and we place our trust in God. Fully and wholeheartedly. Without script, without the end of the... I mean, we get the end of the story in Scripture, but we don't necessarily get the end of our story, right? We know that God wins, so by God winning, we know we win, but we don't know exactly how that's going to work out, right? Those are the details Moses wanted, and God all but said, you just need to shut up and let me handle it, right? I'm going to give you Aaron, and I'm going to give you this and everything. That's all you need to go. When I say, put down the rod, I'll make the wonders happen, amen? And we need to start living our lives that way. We want to see God's power manifest in our life. We want to see God's power manifest in the church. We want to see God's power manifest in the community. We want to see God's power manifest in the schools. We want to see God's power manifest in all of these things. We just need to start living our life that when God says, put down the rod, we put down the rod and we let him do the wonders. Because he will. So much better than we could even figure out. Right? A lot of people upset right now because they've watched Endgame and they've watched Game of Thrones and they've watched all of these different shows and everything else and they see the end of the show coming and they don't like how it ended. And you know, I'm kind of that way. I wasn't real happy with Endgame. Brian and I talked about that this morning. Thought it was kind of like a Lifetime movie mixed in with Looney Tunes, but whatever. And I'm like 23 movies invested and I'm thinking, you give me a Lifetime movie? Really? But anyway, the reality is Marvel doesn't matter. But I use that as an example for us to come to a place and a point to where we realize that God's ending matters and God's ending will be given to us according to His ultimate plan. And sometimes we have to be willing to die. Sometimes we have to be willing to say, I don't matter. But what God is doing and what part He uses me to do it does matter. So I'm going to stand there and I'm going to trust in His power and I'm going to trust in His authority. When His power is on me, then I'm going to walk and talk and believe and think and live in the Spirit. When His power and authority is on somebody else, I'm not going to get jealous. I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to cheer that on. Amen? Right? We get jealous because God's moving over here. But then we'll stand here and complain because it's all on us. Right? That's why it takes all of us to do what God wants to do. And so we're called to that place. God got angry. God got angry with Moses because ultimately Moses wanted to play God. Ultimately, Moses wanted to have it all figured out and all known. And God was like, no, that's for my throne only. That's for my throne only. And what we need to quit doing is we need to quit pulling God off of His throne and bringing Him down to our level. And we need to let Him stay on His throne and change our level. Y'all hear me? Huh? We need to leave Him on the throne and start changing our level. Start changing our dedication. Start changing our sacrifice. Start changing our work. Start changing our effort so that we start seeing the moves and the miracles and the wonders of God. Amen? I have literally walked into churches to preach a week's revival, and immediately it's like you're walking into a brick wall. There's like no spirit there whatsoever. There's like nothing being chopped down or laid down. There's like been no spiritual preparation whatsoever. And then I'm going to be honest with you. I've walked into some churches to preach a week's worth of revivals that the minute I walked through the door, it was like I was floating until I got back home. And every night I was floating and things happened that were beyond belief. And people would talk about me and me preaching this a crazy great revival and this and that and the other. That didn't have anything to do with me. It didn't have anything to do with me. It had everything to do with the people seeking the face of God and me just choosing to walk through the door and allow the power of God to do its thing. Amen? I'm going to be honest with you. There is something about the anointing. You can be as smart as you want to be, but unless you are anointed by the hand of God and set apart to do His purpose, there's a huge difference in that authority. And we have to understand that and we have to know that. We have to sow the seed and make the preparations for it. And we have to spend the time and be willing to be the person standing there and allowing God to do great things. And that's what we're called to. And that's our hope. And that's our promise. Jumping down to verse 21. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand." How was he going to do it? God put it in his hand, right? He's going to do it through the power of God that I have put in thine hand. "But I will harden his heart, and he shall not let thy people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord." I'm going to stop there. "Thus saith the Lord." You know what? It's time that we start telling the demons in our life, "Thus saith the Lord." It's time that we start telling the naysayers in our life, those that want to sow negativity and sow contempt into our life, it's time we start saying, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen? We need to come to a point and a place that those that want to stand in opposition, not because of anything else other than not wanting you to get ahead of them, amen, it's time we start saying, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen? Because this isn't my idea. This is God's idea. This is God telling Moses, there's going to be a whole lot of things happen in Egypt. There's going to be a whole lot of things go on in Egypt. There's going to be a whole lot of stuff that people don't comprehend and people don't understand. There's going to be things that people have never seen before. Amen? And they're going to rebuke it. They're going to walk away from it. Why? Because it intimidates them and because it doesn't lead them where they want to go. But what you need to do is say, thus saith the Lord. Amen? And when we start living our life with that kind of power and authority from heaven, that we are willing to accept what God sends, as long as it's His name, and as long as it's His word, and as long as it's His mouth giving the utterance, friend, buckle up, because that's when power comes. That's when power comes, and that's when God does His best work. Why? Because we've been removed from the equation. And that's when God will do His best in you. Moses wanted the script, but he didn't get the script. Out of compassion, God gave him Aaron and God gave him some other things and just told him, said, you go. No matter how bad Pharaoh is, no matter how bad the Hebrews are, you tell them I sent you. And you tell them, thus saith the Lord. And I'll take care of everything else. When we got to live that way, church. We got to think that way. We got to live that way. We got to raise our kids that way. We got to deal with our community that way. Amen. We need to just start speaking it and believing it. Amen. And allow the power and anointing of God to do everything else. Too many of us are trying to figure out the answer before we even start working the problem. Amen. We just need to let God be God. And we need to be the Moseses. We need to be the Esthers. Another great story of someone who didn't have all of the answers but just chose to do what God led her to do. And every time God did the extra. You know what? By law, Esther should have been killed right off the bat. Right? Y'all know Esther, right? Goes in, basically demands of the king, don't do this, but do this. Right? A woman did that in those days. Off with her head. End of story. Right? Instead, we got a whole book. Right? We got a whole story of Esther. Why? Because she chose to let God do God things. Right? And she delivered a people. Moses chose to let God do God things, and he delivered a nation. Right? We still talk about Moses to this day, not because of what he did, but we talk about Moses because of what God did through him. And when we choose to see the difference, and when we choose to walk that way, that's when God starts doing great things in our life. That's when God will do great things in the church. That's when people will begin to recognize that there's something a whole lot more powerful going on in my life than just me. Amen? And we all need to get there. We all need to embrace it. And we all need to let God. We all need to let God be God. And say to the things in our life that are holding us back, thus saith the Lord. And stand triumphant, knowing that He's your deliverer, He's your redeemer, and He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning of you and the end of you. And as long as we live with Him in His proper place, our ending will be great. Our ending will be great. There'll be a whole lot of trees and a whole lot of branches fall from us if we walk with Jesus. Amen? So, we all frustrate God. And at times, God gets angry with us, just as He did with Moses. But our choice in that moment is to choose God or choose ourselves. I think we'd all be pretty honest if we said, yeah, when I choose me, it doesn't exactly work out that great, right? But man, when I've chosen God, when I've chosen God, some pretty incredible things have happened. Amen? Well, then logic would tell you Why not choose God all the time? Right? It's because you're not walking away. You're not walking away from the stuff that holds you in the grave. Right? When Lazarus was raised, Jesus said some key words. Loose him and let him go. Some of us need to loose ourselves. Some of us need to cut off the grave clothes, fold them up, walk away, and let the power of God take hold of our lives. I am encouraging you to do it. I am cheering you on to live that way. Amen. One of the biggest problems we have in church today is we have this aura about us that we expect everyone to be this. Amen. I hope none of you get that from me. Because truly, when you walk in the door, I have no expectations on your life. I have no expectation on you as an individual and a person. My expectation is this. Number one, I'm going to introduce you to Jesus. Number one, I hope with everything in me, I example Jesus to you. I'm not perfect. Don't expect me to be, just like I don't expect you to be. But I hope, after almost 30 years, I'm setting a decent example that shows you who Jesus is, right? And then my only expectation is that you choose to follow him. That you choose to follow him. You choose to let him make you what he wants you to be. Right? I don't want you to be anything. I don't want you to look a certain way. I don't want you to dress a certain way. I think Josie's hair was green when we first talked. Purple? Sure it wasn't green? Okay, it was purple. Huh? It was green after it was purple? Okay, I knew there was green in there somewhere. Right? I didn't care what her hair looked like. I just cared that she loved Jesus and could sing a little bit. Right? And then the good news is she loved Jesus and she could sing a whole lot. Right? And from that moment, from that moment where she's sitting there talking to me like this, okay, I'm probably exaggerating a little bit, but when she's sitting there shaking, talking to me, and you guys know me, I'm just like super laid back about everything, but she's like a scared little puppy. And sitting there, and to see her now, the way she walks across this stage and sings and worships the Lord, and everything else. I was teasing her this morning because sometimes she hits she's worshiping while she's up here, if you haven't noticed. And sometimes she's so into her worship that she forgets her mic gets down here and she gets to one of those low parts of the song so you can hardly hear her. So the sound guys turn her up, and about the time they turn her up, she brings the mic back up here and hits a big note and everything else. And everything goes crazy for a minute and everything else. You know what? It's all good. I'd rather she be worshiping. I'd rather she be calling us into the presence of God than to ever get that sound table right. Amen? I am okay with that because I want it to be about Jesus. I want you to be about Jesus. I want your life to shine for him. But the only way you're going to do that is by choosing to trust him to write your story and walk with him every minute of every day. So this morning, do you trust him? It's ultimately the question Moses had to answer. All of his what ifs turned into just go and do it. If I say speak, speak. If I say lay down the rod, just go and trust me. I've got the whole thing figured out. Amen? That's what God says to you this morning. That's what God is preaching and teaching you this morning is just trust me. Walk out, walk away, and trust me. This morning, let's stand, let's sing. If God is speaking to your heart, it's okay. That's why we come. If we come and hope God doesn't talk to us, if we come and we hope that God's not calling us to a deeper place, in all that he is and all that he's doing, then man, I guess that means we've taken the pen from his hand and he's not really writing anything on our behalf anymore. And that's a bad place to be. So this morning, let him write, man. Let him write your story. Let him do it with power. And let him do it with beauty like only he can do. As they sing this morning.
You give me everything.